This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. I'm Chris Policano. DC 37 is New York City's largest public employee union with 125,000 members and nearly 50,000 retirees. We're part of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also known as AFSCME. We're on the air Sundays at 8 p.m. We rebroadcast on Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m. We're also available as a podcast. Simply go to the podcast app on your smartphone or tablet and search for DC 37 State of the Union. There are now more ways to stay in touch with us. You can check out our website, www.dc37.net. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. If you have any comments about our show or would like us to promote a community event, please drop us a line at stateoftheunion@dc37.net. Last week, we were talking about a campaign to protect tenants' rights, housing justice for all. With us now to talk about the rights of tenants, and including DC 37 members, is Municipal Employees Legal Services Attorney Steve Atchison. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me.
We were talking last week about how, despite the fact that New York State is fairly progressive compared to others in terms of protecting the rights of tenants, there are abuses that take place and that we need to keep our laws as firm and tight as and as pro-tenant as possible. Tell us a little bit about the work that you're doing to protect our members' rights.
Right. So I'm one of the staff attorneys that works in Bronx County, and I represent members who find themselves in a housing court proceeding. I represent members who are being sued by their landlord for non-payment of rent, and I also represent members who are being sued by their landlord to have their apartment taken back.
And how did they get there? And how did they get to you?
Well, every week we see members by appointment who find themselves in a housing court case, who have perhaps gotten legal papers served on them or have appeared in the court and said to the court that they need an attorney before they can proceed in the case. And what's important to us is that our members tell the court that they need to see their union and need to get an attorney before they proceed, because having an attorney in housing court, especially this day and age, can be very important to making sure that you don't forfeit your apartment and you do not get evicted.
And when you say, especially in this day and age, is something happening in the landscape of landlord greed, perhaps, that is causing more folks to find themselves? I have this sense that perhaps longtime tenants are not as valuable to landlords as new folks who they can turn over. Is that am I anywhere near right on that?
Yes. Many of our members are persons who have affordable rent-regulated apartments, and those are very valuable for people who are living within their means on a salary as an employee for the city of New York. And if they were to lose that affordable housing, it's difficult for them to find new housing that might be available on the free market at a much higher rental rate. And so part of our focus is to make sure that our members who are lucky enough to begin with to reside in rent-regulated housing don't end up losing it because of an eviction case.
And what are the abuses that you see landlords trying to get away with in defiance of tenants' rights?
Well, one thing I see in terms of non-payment cases where the landlord is suing the tenant for rent, a lot of the time tenants are not perfect and they try as hard as they can to make their rent payments every month. Sometimes folks pay in portions more than once per month to meet their monthly rent. And sometimes folks have some amount of rent that they owed from some time in the past. And what a lot of tenants don't know, and what I try to counsel them on, is when you pay your rent every month, it's important to mark which month you're paying your rent for, to earmark your rent checks or your money orders or your payments. Because if you do not, the landlord is free under state law to apply those payments to prior debts that you may owe. And you might not even know that you owe a prior debt. But what will happen is the landlord will take your payment in whatever given month, apply it without them knowing to a previous debt, and then turn around and sue you for rent for the most recent months, alleging that you didn't pay. And this is confusing to tenants, and it's something that once we identify for them, they can use going forward to make sure that the payments they make each month are being credited the right way.
And how does someone get to you, first of all? Let's begin by saying, I am a DC 37 member. I've got a problem with my landlord. How do I find you?
Well, hopefully they get word through word of mouth or while they're in court by themselves that legal services is available to them through their union. And I've had certain clients where this has been mentioned to them by the court themselves. Once they find out that they're entitled to the Municipal Employees Legal Services Program, they ask the court to adjourn their case for a short period of time so that they can come down, set up an appointment with us, and meet with myself or another one of the attorneys in our office who ends up taking their case. So they come in on a particular day of the week. We sit down and we go through an interview process where we talk to them, listen to their story, get all the facts and the information pertaining to their apartment and their life as to why they may have a problem and why they're being sued for rent or otherwise. And once we have a feel for what their issues are, we talk them through how our representation might go for them. We appear with them in court on their next court date. We file legal papers for them if necessary. And we basically try to resolve their situation holistically even so that they can stay in their apartment and be better off for it.
We're talking with Steve Atchison. He is an attorney with the Municipal Employees Legal Services of DC 37. What are some of the I lived in Washington for a number of years, and I came back to New York, and I was stunned by the changing landscape of the city. What are some of the neighborhoods in New York that are most impacted by either development and how this affects tenants in those communities?
Well, most of our volume at Municipal Employees Legal Services in the housing unit comes from Brooklyn and the Bronx. By and large, most of our tenants are coming from those places. We represent people in all five boroughs as well, but I think that a lot of folks who find themselves in an eviction scenario in Bronx and Brooklyn is because of the rapidly changing nature of housing in those boroughs, gentrification happening, and it's becoming harder for tenants from time to time to hold on to their rent-regulated apartments in those boroughs.
And how does it become harder to hold on to the rent regulate? Why is it? What is happening that people who are paying their rent or are playing by the rules are suddenly faced with the challenge of, can I live here anymore?
Well, there are a lot of issues that go into that. One of the things that is that's a problem for people is when they've been paying a certain amount of rent pursuant to their last lease, that is what they call a preferential rent, which the everyday person may or may not know what that means. And I didn't know what that means when I first moved to New York. But what it is a rent that's lower than the legal amount that the landlord could charge. But the way the law is now, which may or may not change this summer, at the end of a lease period, the landlord has the option to revoke that lower preferential rent that a tenant is paying. And it's not something, unless there's specific language or riders or things, that a tenant can do anything about in many cases. So, for example, someone could be paying $1,500 in rent per month, and that might be a preferential rent, and they might not be aware that the legal amount the landlord could charge at the end of their lease could be much higher. And then they go to sign their new lease, and all of a sudden it's $300 or $400 more, which can make a big difference for someone.
Absolutely. And you just said, let's talk about this. We've only got a couple of minutes left, but that we're trying to, there are certain things that we're trying to do through the state legislature coming up in this summer session. What are we doing to, and what are the things that we want to focus on?
Well, to my understanding, some of the major issues that the legislature may take up this June are the issue of whether or not a landlord can raise someone's rent when they've previously been paying the preferential rent, like I mentioned.
Right.
Another thing is whether or not a landlord may raise the rent by a fixed amount as high as 20% when a tenant moves out and there is what's called a vacancy. A new tenant coming in would suddenly have to pay 20% more for a two-year lease in most cases than what the previous tenant was paying. And once the rent gets high enough to cross a certain threshold, which is currently $2,733 a month, then the apartment can be permanently deregulated, taken out of stabilization, so that a landlord can charge a market rate or whatever they think they can rent the apartment for.
We're talking with Steve Atchison. He's an attorney with the Municipal Employees Legal Services. We have not given a phone number for what we call MELS, M-E-L-S. What is the phone number for the Municipal Employees Legal Services?
You can reach our screening department at 212-815-1111. If you have a landlord-tenant problem and you're a member, you speak to those folks first who can determine your eligibility, ask you where you are in your case, and set up an interview with you with one of our legal services attorneys, including myself.
And this summer, again, we are pushing for legislation that will protect tenants' rights. We're part of the Housing Justice for All campaign. Steve, thanks very much for coming in and talking with us. And please keep us apprised of what's going on. And welcome back anytime.
Thank you, Chris. It's been a pleasure.
Henry Garrido is next. We're going to take a break.
Were you a September 11th responder or volunteer? Were you present at the dust cloud on 9/11? Do you live, work, or go to school in the New York City disaster area on 9/11 or in the following months? Do you now suffer from problems such as chronic cough, shortness of breath, anxiety, depression, or have other symptoms? If so, you may be eligible for the World Trade Center Health Program and could receive medical monitoring and treatment at no out-of-pocket cost to you. To learn more about the program and get an application, go to www.cdc.gov/WTC or call 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care. Call today. 1-888-982-4748. 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care.
We're back. This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. Last week, Mayor Bill de Blasio signed into law several bills that will reduce greenhouse emissions by nearly 30% by 2030 and spur thousands of good jobs. The mayor spoke strongly about this Green New Deal, and here is some of what he said.
On this Earth Day, we make very clear we are not waiting on Washington, D.C., because that would be to our peril. We are not waiting on leaders who deny global warming is even happening, because we've seen those fires, those floods, those droughts. We've seen what Hurricane Sandy did to this city. We're not in denial here. We have to go farther than we ever thought we could go, and we have to do it faster than we ever thought we could. That's what today is about. It is an audacious plan. It is a bold plan. It is a difficult plan. It is a necessary plan.
Now, joining us by phone to talk about the union's efforts to help get this done and what it means for all of us in the city of New York, DC 37 Executive Director Henry Garrido. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Nice to be back, Chris. Thank you.
This was a big effort. This took a while to get done. Let's talk about the genesis of the legislation and DC 37's involvement and your vision for what this can be.
Well, I think the legislations are part of a much grander plan that we've been pushing for some time. There were six pieces of legislation that were passed by the city council and then subsequently signed by the mayor, announcement on Monday. that has been presented as the city's Green New Deal. And, you know, we started with the initial thought is we needed to divest from a dying fossil fuel industry that was basically threatening our investments into the pension. So we led the fight among the unions to divest over $5 billion from the fossil fuel industry. We made that announcement, if
right.
you recall,
sure.
about a year ago.
Yep.
Then so shortly thereafter, we went and announced the investment of a lot of those monies that are being repurposed to green new energy, which included solar panel, included wind energy, and a lot of renewables. And then the six pieces of legislation that were passed with a lot of very big fight at the city council, because the real estate industry came in heavily opposing the legislation and attempted to, you know, pin one side over the other and pin unions against one another. And so we were successful in pushing the city council, successful voted the legislation, pushing from our perspective. So, you know, with the help of the city council speaker, Corey Johnson, and Costa Constantinides, the council member, we were able to push the other members. And so we got a vote 45-2 in approval of these pieces of legislation, the six pieces that I mentioned. And so now part of the union, the last part of that effort is the union is moving to now train and equip union members that are already there, but also prepared to train potential members to take over those jobs that are going to be needed in order to get the legislation done. I think it's a very, very big deal. It's a very big Green New Deal.
Right.
And
right.
we need to be able to, you know, to recognize how much the union was instrumental in getting that done.
Well, it's also important to notice how instrumental the union was to getting this whole strategy that you've just laid out. I mean, this is a major commitment to understanding what the future is going to be about unless we do something. And going back to the way you just laid that out, going back to the pensions, the use of the pensions, and up to this legislation, there is a great deal of vision about what New York City can be.
Indeed. And I think that for us here at District Council 37, sometimes we forget, you know, what I call the permanency of government, and that the fact that, you know, a lot of elected officials, good as they are, come and go, and we, city workers, remain here. And 89% of DC 37 members live in the city of New York, and the retirees. So they are as concerned what happens to the city as any other taxpayer, because that's what they are, right? And
right.
so this is a win-win-win-win proposal, because, number one, it's a win for the pensioners in that you're doing a worthwhile investment while getting a better return and divesting from a dying industry that is beginning to see the end of very poor returns, very poor performance. So from a fiduciary point of view, it makes a lot of sense. It's a win situation because you get good renewable energy that lowers the cost of electricity and the cost of consumption and energy to everybody. And it's a win because you're also saving the planet and you're reducing greenhouse emission. You mentioned the 30% by 2030, but there's an even greater ambitious goal that goes up to 2050, which is to make sure that every building, especially those who are in the city of New York, turn to 100% renewable energy by 2050. So there are different parts of this legislation that are important. I mean, we've talked about offshore wind industry. There is a bill here that allows for the purchase of wind power here in New York. There is a plan to construct a new wind farm here in New York City, and we're very excited about being in the cutting edge. And it's also the last win goes to workers, because let's not forget, this is a good jobs program that creates more than 20,000 jobs a year, good paying jobs with high level skills, jobs that cannot be exported anywhere, jobs that are here that provide opportunities for a lot of minorities and people of color who have been left out of the economy, who raises wages and provides, you know, a real life skills to a lot of people. And so the union, DC-37, very excited to join with community partners, with elected officials, with the mayor of the city of New York in pushing this new Green New Deal.
And every component of this involved things that the labor movement must do, and I think, in order to play the role that the labor movement should play in the life of the city and the life of the country. We connected with community partners, as you just said, and we had a vision. I know you spent time yourself overseas looking at what clean energy can be. And when you experienced that, talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Yeah, I've had an opportunity to go. I went first 2 years ago. I went to Geneva to represent the union with Public Service International to see the effect of global investment from our pensions in the union here in the United States, and see the direct effect on the workers and the poor investments of the fossil fuel industry. So I have a privilege to represent DC-37 and ASME in Geneva with unions from all over the country and all over the world who were there representing. So we had a very vast discussion, and I saw firsthand the effect of privatization that's happening. And then 2 years later, an opportunity to go to Denmark with a trip sponsored by Good Jobs Energy Jobs in New York through Cornell, and we saw firsthand the prospect of an economy driven by clean renewable energy, and the fact that not only the jobs were good jobs and they were created, that were sustainable jobs that lower the cost of energy consumptions for the people in Denmark. But Denmark is one of those countries that union density is pretty high. And in that industry, union density is about 95%.
Wow.
Its union density across the country is 80%. And so, it was incredible to see it firsthand experience right there what the effect on the economy has been, and how they took some very difficult decisions a decade or so ago to change our economy from a service economy to an economy that was producing, consuming, and completely renewable energy, and how it transformed to the point that right here in the United States, we're talking about the 5 for 15 minimum wage in Denmark is $20 an hour. And that is across the board for public and private sector employees. So they have universal health care. They have not only good wages, but they have flexible unemployment. Their unemployment there is incredible. And so I'm not saying that we're the same. We are significantly different. We are a lot more diverse than what I saw. But I did see the value and the potential in those two countries for us here as the union to be at the forefront of a transformative change for our economy here in New York. And green, renewable, sustainable energy is the solution. And let us not forget that just a few years ago, we were the victims of Hurricane Sandy right here in our building.
Right. The union itself. The union itself was a victim. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, the building was flooded.
Yeah,
and our neighborhood was flooded, and thousands of our members got displaced here in New York as a result of Hurricane Sandy. We're still dealing with some of it. As a matter of fact, we're still dealing with some of the aftermath of the people who lost everything. And the union was very instrumental in trying to get them back into their homes and helping them with financial assistance. But we are just one storm away from, hitting some of that. And I like to think that we're much more prepared than that, that we are looking at the future and that we're preparing to make sure that we have, you know, a better economy and a better planet and, you know, good paying jobs for everybody. So we're very proud of what we've done on this, and the continues. Now we had to turn to the jobs and preparing our members to those jobs and making sure that we have, you know, all the pieces there that are there, because there's very powerful industry here in New York, which is the real estate industry, that's going to do everything possible to try to prevent the implementation of this legislation and the New Deal. And so we have a lot of work to do still.
You know, we also have, in the past, state legislature, I understand that we were working towards a criminal justice reform work. We were just talking in the previous segment about the need to protect tenants' rights. And we, the union, are getting involved in these issues as part of a vision of what a union can do and the impact a union can have on progressive politics. Is that a fair statement?
It is fair, but I think in the traditional District Council 37, we have always concerned ourselves more than just wages and working conditions and pensions. We've gone beyond that. You know, we were the pioneers of the Municipal Employee Legal Services to have tenants' rights protected by creating a housing protection unit here, which provides attorneys when our members are being evicted unjustly or mistreated, or when they need to buy a house and you need a closing. So we were pioneers of the education and training program that allows for people to get prepared for the new future, and that was not necessarily a contractual collective bargaining idea, but it's something that we thought was important to the lives of the member. And most recently, we've pioneered a program that is pretty unique and pretty popular among our members around student debt and how to lower the cost of student debt. And the housing program was the other program that was pioneered back when I was associate director, that I'm extremely proud of all the work that he has done in expanding purchasing capabilities and also in driving policy, right? The right to right. counsel that was passed to the city council here in New York was done with the help and the support and the pushing of District Council 37. And now we turn to the state, because our biggest challenge here in New York is affordable housing. And we need to make sure that rent controls are viewed by this Democratic Senate. We are looking to strengthen, you know, vacancy control. We're looking to look at pieces that we have not been able to do because of a Republican-controlled Senate. And so we now turn to Albany to push in that area. And it's pretty good in line, much in line with the traditional District Council 37, fighting for the members and where they live in their communities, and not just concerning ourselves with contract negotiations and grievances.
Henry Garrido is the executive director of DC 37. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us, and you'll be back.
Thank you for having us, Chris.
That's just about all the time we have for this evening. I want to thank Steve Acheson from the Municipal Employees Legal Services and Executive Director Henry Garrido for joining us. Before we go, Jumani Williams, the New York City Public Advocate, will be speaking at Amel's workshop on May 1st at 6 p.m. at Union Headquarters. For more information, call 212-815-1111. And the Education Fund is holding a college fair on Thursday, May 16th at 6 p.m. at Union Headquarters. To RSVP, please visit www.dc37.net. Remember, if you have any comments about today's show or any of our shows, please drop us a line at stateoftheunion@dc37.net. We appreciate your feedback. The producer is Rudy Orozco. I'm Chris Policano. We have got a special shout-out against Frontier Airlines for screwing up the Easter weekend vacation of Andrea Minocchio, our sound engineer. So Frontier Airlines, later for you, man. No good. Until next time, ciao.